We have two readings this morning. The first one is from Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and the second one is from Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. So reading from Malachi first, chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. And then moving to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray, shall we? Father God, as we open your word and we continue to let what has been read minister into our lives, Lord, may you reveal yourself louder and clearer than ever before. We as your people, Lord God, are here to listen and to obey. Father, I pray that you would guide each and every word that I say. May they be your words and your truth, and nothing else be shared this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Dan, can I have your help, please? Thanks, buddy. Can you hold that for me?
Maybe.
Thanks, mate. All right. You got it?
Yep.
All right. Now, hold it so people can see.
Can I not see?
I don't know. All right. Good man. Oh, you might want to stand up on the stage. That's good. Thinking mum and dad. Yeah, right. One, two, three. All right. Is that better, folks? Can you see that? I'll draw on the top part. All right, now, I want you to imagine with me that this line here, that you can see very lightly in blue, is a timeline. All right, so we'll put some significant events on this timeline. Here we have zero. Now, what happens in zero?
Nothing.
Nothing. Very good. What do we put down as happening at this moment in time, although many people in history will tell us it happened a little bit later? Jesus' birth. All right. So Jesus is born about here. We call that where it is BC and AD takes place there, all right? AD means? Anno Domini, not after death, thank you very much. So going back this way, a whole bunch of ancient stuff happens, all right? All the pyramids and a whole bunch of old places happen. Way back here, we'll just put the universe somehow comes into being. I believe God does it. The sun comes about, but apparently it's a dying sun. Do you know that? The sun's dying. Is that right, Mr. Scientist, Neil? Yeah? You would disagree. The sun is not dying. It's expanding. Well, there you go. Fantastic. Okay, so all this sort of stuff gets done, and then we get into over here, and a whole bunch of other stuff takes place, and then we get into a really important time, 1963. Can anyone tell me what happened in 1963? Very good. Donnie was born in 1963, but the drumstick was invented in 1963. The E.H. Holden came out in 1963. Ice cream drumstick. Stay with us, Paul. Stay with us. All right. Over here is another really important date that takes place. Donnie meets Cynthia. What year was that, honey? Oh, I know what it is. I'm testing you. 1980. Seven. You concur? Or are you going to go and sit next to Neil? All right, 1987. So there is another BC time, BC here, everything back here is before Cynthia, and we don't talk about it. No, there is no girlfriends or anything in here. Nothing happens there. All right, now, all this is there only to try and get you to a point of saying one thing. One, where is God in all this? God is everywhere. God is back here. He's here. He's here. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's the whiteboard and the pen. And all right, you can hop down now. Thanks, Dan. You've done a great job. Give Dan a hand. Give Dan a hand. Well, you're in fact quite correct. God is everywhere here. He's in and through everything. Every part of history, whether it be the absolute amazing when the universe first started, which God did, or whether it's when anything was built, pyramids, whether it's anything when Jesus was born, whether it's even the significant date of my birth or meeting Cynthia, or, you know, 2004 when I came to the Sunshine Coast and started here at this church, God is in and through all of that. But time exists only in God. So time only exists if God is the whiteboard and God is the pens and everything else. So nothing else exists except for God. Do you see the picture? Do you see the point? How big is our God? He's huge. He is humongous. He is massive. He is incredible. And his word never, ever ends. Isaiah 40, verse 8 tells us, the grass grows brown. How many can say amen to that? Yep. Amen. It grows brown. It grows brown in my yard. And it grows long at times too. And when it rains, it goes green. But the grass goes brown. And it also says, and flowers will wilt and die. But the word of the Lord lasts forever. The word of the Lord lasts forever. We know that, don't we? Do we believe it? Do we live it? Do we thrive and breathe it? Some facts for us. Are you ready? These things are facts. They don't change. You ready? 1 + 1 = 2. That's true. 1 + 1 = 2. You can't change it, can you? You can. You can change what 1 + 1, 1 and 1 is. You can change it to cat and dog, but cat and dog don't equal chicken. But 1 + 1 = 2. All right. What? It doesn't equal 11. Boy, oh boy, I'm gonna say a no talking back in church. All right, another one, gravity. If you throw something in the air, what's going to happen to it? It's going to go down. Even a paper airplane, you throw it in the air, even if you throw it from the 13th floor of the Telecom Australia building at Woolloongabba, which you should never do because those windows are locked and you can't open them, it will come to the ground somewhere. It may be up past the Gabba, the cricket ground, but it will come down. Trust me. It will come down. I had a mate. We went on this ride at high school. It was called the Gravitron. You know the Gravitron? You older people, younger people, you miss out on a great ride. It's still going, the Gravitron. You go round and round and round. You know what happens to you if you're on the Gravitron and you get sick? You know what happens to you? You go, whoa! And if it's spinning fast enough, it goes whack. If it's not spinning fast enough, the bloke sitting next to you gets whack. Goes round and round, it comes back on you. You throw something in the air, it comes back down. That's gravity. That is always going to be the way it is here on planet Earth at this moment in time. God's word is God's word. Amen? And is God mucking about when he give us the Bible? Did he just say, hey, here's a few guidelines, see, you know, chest it out, see if you like it. If you don't like it, don't worry about it. It's nothing big. It's only me telling you what to do. We have books in our lives that we sometimes don't pay much attention to, do we? As blokes, we often cop it, don't we, about instruction manuals. Do I hear an amen, blokes? Amen? We don't use instruction manuals because we know how it works. Every now and then, though, it's good to look at the instruction manual. You know? I reckon in our world today, there are many people who are not looking into the instruction manual on how to have life, and life to its fullness, and life in its abundance. We are going to look at some biblical principles today. Some of them you might not like. Some of them you might go, well, that is Old Testament school, Donnie, and it's not important. Well, let's have a look at that, shall we? The first Bible reading we looked at was from Malachi, or as I also learnt at Bible College, Malachi, the Italian prophet. He writes this in chapter 3, and thank you, Trish, for reading it to us. Will a mere mortal rob God? Have you ever thought of yourself as a mere mortal? No? Yes? Yes. As you get older, trust me, you feel more mere and less mortal. And it's going to come about one day. I was sitting next to a gentleman this morning at patrol. And he's had a hip replacement. And he's doing really well. Except he sat there for a good hour next to me. And when he went to twist around to hop off, all of a sudden his mere mortality kicked in. And he went, ow. Some of you are doing that already when you get up out of bed. Mere mortality kicks in. So here we are, mere mortals, robbing God. Does that sound like a good plan? No, that's a silly plan, isn't it? That doesn't make sense at all. How can we, mere mortals, try to tell God or say to God or rip God off when he is in and through everything and time only exists because of him, everything only exists because of him. His word is eternal and all-powerful, and yet we try to go, yeah, well, God, you do it our way or else. We blackmail God, or we try to. Does that make common sense? It only must make sense in our brain because it really doesn't make any sense to God. Here he says, will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Is that God's word or is that God's word? It's God's word. Was it only for those back in Malachi's day, or is it for us today? This is what we need to look at. We need to kick this around and find out what this is about. A book I'm reading, which I shared with you a little bit last week, it says, it doesn't call the Old Testament the Old Testament. It calls it the First Testament, or part one. And it calls the New Testament part two. And he says you can't have part two without part one. Doesn't that make sense? And you can't have the new without the old. Although sometimes we probably will argue that point as well, won't we? But here we have the Old Testament shining a light, the last book, into the New Testament. He says, test me in this. Bring the whole tithe, not part of it. What are some stories that we might tell from the New Testament that show that God was serious about this? Anyone think? The widow. There is a great example. The widow. That's a great story that Jesus taught, or he actually pointed out that actually was taking place. What about in the book of Acts? A really scary story. Ananias and Sapphira. Yeah. Did you bring the whole amount? Yes, we brought the whole amount. Wrong. And then the wife walks in and the husband's being carried out. Did you bring the full amount? Oh, yes. Wrong. I was talking to a guy down on patrol yesterday. He happens to be a teacher. I won't tell you at what school. He has daughters. His eldest is 18 and his youngest is in grade 9. So however old that is now. And we were chatting about a whole bunch of things, and we had a fantastic talk about dads, D-A-D-D-S. Anyone know what D-A-D-D-S is? It's an organization. My daughters don't believe it exists, but it is a real organization. You can get a T-shirt and everything. It says, Dads Against Dating Daughters. Yeah, it's true. It's a T-shirt. On the T-shirt it says, Dads Against Dating Daughters, shoot the first one and let the word get out. He really likes that, and he wants to get the shirt. In fact, he thinks first day of school, maybe that should be, you know, really give it to one of the kids on the first day of school and let the whole class realize that don't mess with this teacher, stay in line. But God is putting things in place for us, and he's giving us warnings and examples, and he says, this is what I want you to do, test me in this, and this is what I'll do for you. I will open the floodgates of heaven. Who wants the floodgates of heaven open over your life? I'm keen. I'm keen to let God open the floodgates of heaven across Kiwana Life, across this area, across this mantle. So the principle of tithing is something that God was about, and it was something that was real. The Old Testament, or part one, is there, I believe, as a minimum for us to do. For example, the Ten Commandments. Are they the 10 possible things you could do with your life? Are they the 10 perceived ideas that might be successful for you? Or are they the 10 commandments? They are the 10 commandments. And I believe they are the minimum that God wants for his people to live by. The minimum. Not the maximum. Oh, wow, I finally fulfilled the 10 commandments. What happened to the wise guy or the young guy that came up to Jesus and said, I have fulfilled the 10 commandments all the days of my life? What did God say to him? What did Jesus say to him? Yeah, there's more to do. That's basic, buddy. Thanks very much. Well done. But that's the minimum requirement. I know we're under grace and it's not about the law, but God wants us to live a certain way. Two quick stories for you. Koshy on Sunrise Show. Apparently he's a money guru. That's where he made all his money before he became rich and famous on TV. He has a book about how to be successful in finances. This is how he shares it. First 10% to any charity, give it away, sow it. 10%, give it away. 10%, save it. 80%, live on it. And that's his principle. Wonder where he gets that idea from. 10%, give it away. 10%, philanthropy. 10%, sow it into something. 10%, save it. 80%, live on it. Jack Deere, the pastor with the John Wimber movement back in the day, moved on from that movement, went to a Presbyterian church, can you believe it, in the backwoods of a little town in the USA. Church was about 100 people. The community had 10 churches in the whole community. And after the first offering, he and the family all moved there. After the first offering, it was a small church, so he was part of it all. And he realized that 50% of the offering was given by the Deer family that day. The rest of the people at church put in 50% of the offering. The pastor put in 50%. And he went, well, God, I think I better preach about tithing and giving to the work of God in and through this place, or else we're going to be in trouble. And he went on a journey, and he ended up having a businessman, a very, very wealthy businessman in his church, and he took talking to him about tithing and the principles from the Old Testament. And this guy went, yeah, I don't get it. So this guy went on a journey and visited every other church in the city, in the town. And he came back to him and said, not one other pastor in this town could convince me to tithe, or in fact wanted to convince me or wanted to talk to me about tithing. They said it was Old Testament. You don't need to worry about that. We don't live by that standard anymore. We do this, this, and this. And then he pulled out a check out of his pocket and gave it to Jack Deere. And Jack Deere said, what's that? And he said, that's my first tithe. And he said, but I just thought you were told you didn't need to do that. And he said, I also looked at each of those churches, and none of those churches are thriving or surviving very well. And so obviously with what they're living by is not very good. He said, if this is opening the floodgates of heaven, I want to be a part of opening the floodgates of heaven across this church and across my town. A couple of months later, Jack Deere had started a God's gym thing, and it was actually in a gym, not what we used to do, but in a full gym. And this businessman used to come along, and he would get on the treadmill. And I'm guessing he didn't work very hard on the treadmill because he used to read his business's financials as he was on the treadmill. So I guess he was walking, wasn't running real hard. Anyway, once a month, whenever he used to read this, he used to crack up laughing. And Jack Deere would go, what are you laughing about? And he said, All my businesses have just gone ahead in leaps and bounds since I started tithing. Test God, and I'll open the floodgates of heaven. I know people in this church have got testimonies about trusting God and working with God in the area of finances and letting God be Jehovah Jireh. And I'm just bringing it to us as a church, as a whole. I personally don't like to preach on money and that, because you guys have looked after me and my family for almost 12 years, and you have blessed us financially and cared for us as a family in ways that I cannot say thank you enough. Next passage I want to look at is Matthew 23, verses 23 to 24. Matthew 23, verses 23 to 24. This is Jesus, and he's talking to the teachers and the Pharisees. Listen to what he says. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, your mint, your dill, and your cumin, but you neglect the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." What's Jesus saying? If Old Testament stuff is Old Testament, then what's Jesus got it wrong? Didn't he say you shouldn't neglect the former? He didn't rouse on them for tithing. He said, "You're tithing, well done, good on you. But you've neglected this area of what it's about." See, it's not just about signing a check. It's not just about this, but there's more to come with it. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And then he goes on and says, "You blind guides, you strain at the gnat, but you swallow the camel." Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. What I'm doing here very quickly, and I'm not going into a great study on it, is the Old Testament has Malachi, Matthew with Jesus talking, and now we're going to Galatians where we've got Paul sharing. And he says, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked." Does that sound like it's tying in with Malachi? Don't rob God. Don't try and rip him off. "A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their own flesh and their desires will from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So here we have Paul talking to the Galatians about reaping and sowing, which again is another worldwide principle, isn't it? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. It's just the way it is. Whether you talk about it in 101 different ways, different religions talk about it in different formats, blessing and curse, karma, all that sort of stuff, it's reaping and sowing, isn't it? It's what you reap and what you sow. Paul is bringing it loudly and clearly. In the newsletters today, did anyone get a surprise in their newsletter? A couple of people? Yeah. What was your surprise, Lorraine? You got a $5 note. How about that? Anyone else get a $5 note in the newsletter? Yeah, cool as that. Grant, you didn't put your hand up first, did you? No, I'll keep that one. When you can. That $5 note in the newsletter, I'm sorry for all those that didn't get a newsletter with $5 in it. I ran out of $5 notes, my apologies. That $5 note is yours to keep. You can keep it, spend it, go and buy, you know, ice cream at the shop down the road, or chicken drumsticks, or ice cream drumsticks, created in 1963. Whatever you want to do with that $5 is up to you, but you might want to grab that $5 and sow it into someone's life this week. Use it as an opportunity of someone else put some money in your newsletter to sow it into someone else's life, to grab hold of this principle that we're talking about in a little practical way and go, okay, I'm going to grab this and I'm going to sow it. It didn't cost me anything. I got it for nothing. I'm going to pass it forward. Or I'm going to play it forward. I'm going to be a blessing to someone's life this week. Because that passage, doesn't it say that? How can we be about doing good into each other's life? How can we sow and let others have a great time with it? To be a blessing is what God calls us to be. We need not mock God. We need to follow through. So why tithe? I believe we tithe, or we hand over what we have and we give to God what is His anyway, because it's obedience to him. And it is about giving to God. It's not about giving to Kiwanis Life. Although anytime you want, the leadership team, myself and James, are open as a book to let you know where all the finances go for us as a church. It's not just James, myself and Richie who are able to be supported in everyday life, but we have missionaries as well. We have the lease on this building and ministries that we finance as well and enable to take place and to happen. So again, thank you for your tithing. Thank you for the many stories that you may be able to tell, but we look to move forward this year and see what God can do. How many people at this moment in time, I just want to pray for those, actually you don't have to put up your hands because it's a personal thing. How many, just answer the question in your spirit, in your head. This year, how many of us would love to see God open the heavens above us as a church, as a family? There may be people in your family who need that provision, that absolutely amazing provision. It may not just be the, you know, $70 million lotto. Anyone living in Harvey Bay here, by the way? No? I'll take that tithe this weekend. Wouldn't that be good? Whew. Anyway, sorry. I shouldn't know about those things, should I? I apologize. But if we're praying into what God's got for us, it may not just be that one big check that arrives on the door. It may be a new job. It may be a new opening that God has for us. It may be a job that allows some finance to come in. It may be a new venture. I've been talking with a couple of people about new ventures for 2016 in their lives. So I just want to stop right now and bring all of this before God, who is in and through all, who cares about whether you have two bob to rub together or a $5 note in your wallet or not. He cares for you, but he also wants to see you blessed to be a blessing. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for these principles that you put together. And Lord, whether we fully grab it and we agree 100% or not, we want to bring it before you. And we want to say, Lord God, speak to us and guide us individually and as a church in the area of our finances. Father, we as a church, we tithe and we want to continue to tithe and we want to be even a more blessing across our community than we've ever been before. So Father, would you bless us as a church so we can be an amazing blessing into this community. Father, for people here who are really seeking you on the way forward, whether it be a new job, whether it be a new area of finances that you need to flow into their lives or a provision of some other areas, Lord God, a car, a place to stay, some accommodation, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you would be Jehovah Jireh for them, our provider. And that would be part of our story this year, that we would see your provision, that we would be obedient to you in giving, and we would see the heavens open above us like floodgates. And your blessing would be all around. Lord God, I just pray over families today. Lord, I know not everyone's here today. I also know, Lord God, there are many families in mainly music who struggle financially. Lord, the Bread Ministry, there's many people there that struggle financially. Lord, we bring them before you as well. And we ask, Lord God, that you would be Jehovah Jireh in their lives. That you would be an incredible blessing into them, Lord God. And we might be part of that. We might be part of that sharing and giving and being a part of your blessing. Lord, open our eyes that we might do good as is told to us in Galatians chapter 6. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen, amen. With the bread, can I tell you a quick story? It's a little bit to the side of the sermon, but a quick story from the Bread Ministry. One of the ladies who comes to the Bread Ministry, she takes enough bread for five other families. She's an amazing little old lady. Bumped into her at the shops the other day and she went, oh, wow, look at that. We bumped into each other in a different place and we still look the same. And I went, yeah, how about that? But anyway, she got two hampers, two of your hampers that you gave together for Christmas, and she gave them away to a number of her families that she blesses with bread every week. And she shared with me on Tuesday night that one of the ladies that she gave the hamper to was so blown away that for the first time in, I don't know how many years, but it must have been a long time. For the first time in all these years, she had 10 people come to her place for Christmas dinner because she could provide it for them. How cool is that? Yeah, I thought it was pretty awesome anyway. All right. Excellent. Okay, Matthew 28. If you have your Bibles, Matthew 28. Again, is God's word God's word? When he says something, does he mean it? Yes, he does. Almost broke into Bob the Builder then, didn't I? All right, Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, if you feel like it and you're able to..." You sure? Okay. "Therefore, if you have the gifts and the skills..." No? Am I messing with you?
Yeah.
Really? Keep me in line, Annie. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So what did Jesus say to them? Go. Go. Why do we invite people to church events? Why do we invite people to meet God? Why? Because Jesus said, go. Go into all nations and do what? Make disciples. And he calls us to teach them. I don't know how you preach on that. You can't add much more to that, can you? We've got to be the doers. And this year, the whole reason we're saying God's story, our story, is so that we can be a part of what God's doing, and we tell the story. And we tell people about it. And we explain to people what God is doing in and through our lives. And we invite our friends, our neighbors, to our place for a barbecue, or to the beach for a barbecue, or for a surf. And we click in with them and we tell them about Jesus, or we at least let them see Jesus being lived in and through our life in an amazing way. Let's keep moving forward, because it's Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Jesus is about to be taken up into heaven, and he said in Matthew, "All authority is given to me, go and do this." And let's see if he changes his mind. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power. You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses. I don't think God's messing about here. I think he's saying it pretty clearly. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, 'The righteous will live by faith.'" The power of God is in the gospel. We need to live it and to share it and get it in amongst people's lives. Again, the word of God tells us and challenges us to move and to be obedient. God's story, our story. We're going to see it more and more this year. James is putting together the structure for that, so that we can move forward with that. And in February, we will start that. But it's already starting to bubble now. I mean, people are reading books that they picked up, and God's doing stuff about how do we share our story? How do we share his story? It's already taking place. And we really feel there's a sense across not just Kiwanis Life, but across the Sunny Coast, that Good Life Church is doing all about God's story as well. So it's God speaking, I believe. God's story, your story. I want to pray for us all again one more time. And this one's about us not being fearful about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, again, you say clearly in your word, go into all the world, go into all nations, make disciples, and teach them everything. And we do know so much. Each and every one of us in this place have got the knowledge and the understanding to start home groups and invite our neighbors and friends to it. And we can see lives saved and people being baptized over in that lake again and again and again, and seeing lives transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that none of us will ever be ashamed to share your story. None of us will be ashamed, Lord God. In fact, we will be praying for opportunities to share your story. opportunities to share what you are doing and saying in and through our lives. Father God, I pray that you will lift our eyes up and we will keep our eyes focused on you, the Lord Almighty. We rest in you, we sleep in you, we live in you, we work in you. Make us be aware of it, Lord God. Open our ears to hear how we may be a blessing this week. It may be with that $5. It may be with a simple word. It may be with just a gesture. It may be with a letter, a visit, a text message, a phone call. But Lord, let it be real. Why do we invite? Because we want to see people saved. We want to see them set free from the structure of this world and set free into what God has for them for the rest of eternity. Oh, Lord God, let us not be ashamed. Let us not be fearful. Let us be filled with your love, devoted to one another and devoted to the ministry of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people agreed, said, amen. God bless you. Thank you, Steve.